From WNYC in New York, this is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield.
They're trying to steal an election. They're trying to rig an election.
Donald Trump on Thursday evening speaking to the press as his leads in Georgia and Pennsylvania were slipping away with the tallying of mail-in ballots. Leveling charges of corruption and fraud, as they say, without evidence, he laid out the cheating process with all the eloquence and rigor to which over 4 years we have become accustomed.
They just take in numbers, they're writing down things, the workers, and doing a lot of bad things. And we have a lot of information coming and litigation that you'll see that will shake even your people up. And you've seen it all, the officials overseeing.
Oh, and when he lied about election officials not permitting GOP observers and Trump faithful to witness the counting process, he added this little warning.
The people that are banned are very unhappy and become somewhat violent.
Noted. Sure enough, by that point, the restless Trump crowds had already formed in Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Arizona, such as Phoenix's Maricopa County ballot counting facility, where protesters raged.
And they're actually chanting, Fox News sucks. Fox News sucks. The reason why they're chanting that is because Fox News called Arizona for Biden yesterday, and a lot of people are angry about that. We have not called.
Some Fox News watchers weren't the only ones irate at the channel's Arizona call. Fox's own hosts, Greg Gutfeld, Sean Hannity, and Jesse Waters, questioned their network's report on air.
You know, we were livid about the fact that you and then the AP made that call. This
Thank
is going
you.
To lead Joe
Thank
Biden to falsely declare himself the president-elect at some point.
Understood.
As of Friday afternoon, Biden had not done so. But Trump had at least three times, as early as about 2 a.m. Wednesday.
This is a fraud on the American public. This is an embarrassment to our country. We were getting ready to win this election. Frankly, we did win this election.
There's a word for this kind of reaction. It's called flailing, a careless form of thrashing about that tends to cause the flailer to let his guard down. Here was Trump campaign legal advisor Harmeet Dhillon on Fox revealing how serious people really rig a game.
We're waiting for the United States Supreme Court, of which the president has nominated three justices, to step in and do something, and hopefully Amy Coney Barrett will come through.
Meanwhile, angry crowds formed on social media. TikTok was flooded with viral videos from the president's supporters disputing the legitimacy of the count.
I could not be convinced this was a legitimate election. 300,000 votes in Florida just disappear. I'm a coal miner. My livelihood depends on this election.
On Twitter, Eric Trump shared a video taken by a Trump supporter at 4 a.m. featuring a man pulling a wagon into Detroit's convention center. Conservative media reckoned the wagon carried a lockbox filled with stolen ballots.
Looks like one of those lockboxes. I wish I could tell.
WXYZ reporter Ross Jones debunked the video, saying that the alleged ballot thief was his photographer, hauling equipment ahead of a 12-hour shift. Meanwhile, on YouTube, Trump's self-proclaimed news site One America News Network told its viewers what the cowardly Fox was afraid to say.
President Trump won four more years in office last night. North Carolina, Florida, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin are all Trump's. Even Arizona, which somehow has Biden winning, is rampant with voter fraud. Nevada, same thing.
And Facebook shut down a group called Stop the Steal, which, in a matter of hours, thanks to coordination by GOP operatives, swelled to 35,000 users, some calling for civil war. Thursday night, Trump supporters organized a Stop the Steal campaign outside a Phoenix County facility. The Clark County Registrar Joe Gloria said he believed these demonstrations were putting his staff in danger.
I can tell you that my wife and my mother are very concerned for me, but I am concerned for the safety of my staff.
Meanwhile, other online hoaxes led to real-world right-wing demonstrations, like this viral Facebook video.
So the people that were in front of me, there were two people in front of me that used a Sharpie.
Yes.
That was given to them by the poll workers.
Yes.
It did not read their ballot.
Okay.
And they slid it in there twice. I used the pen.
Yep.
Took their Sharpie and threw it away.
And it read your ballot.
And it read my ballot.
And it read your ballot.
And it read my
ballot. What they're doing is they're telling people to use the Sharpies. That way, those votes aren't counted.
Yes.
Overnight, Sharpiegate, which is not a thing, became a thing.
People protested in Arizona claiming some election officials gave voters Sharpie pens that canceled out votes. Election officials say using a Sharpie would not invalidate a ballot.
In the mainstream media, a notable moment, Trump's 6:30 p.m. speech on Thursday, timed for the network news, aired in its entirety only by Fox and CNN. Others, as if finally heeding the pleas of press critics at the very last moment, we're like Lester Holt on NBC.
We have to interrupt here because the president has made a number of false statements, including the notion that there has been fraudulent voting. There has been no evidence of that.
However, Iranian state television aired Trump's press conference live and in full, tweeted journalist Nigar Mortazavi. There's no anti-American propaganda more effective, she wrote, than POTUS himself undermining the democratic process.
But the big story on American nightly news was instead the desperation of a political movement facing its democratic reckoning. In surely what was the most bizarre expression of furious flailing this election week, at one point, Trump supporters in the streets of Arizona, where Trump was losing, were chanting,
"Count those votes! Count those votes! Count those votes!"
And in Michigan, where Trump was leading and Detroit's mail-in ballots still languished untallied, came the cry,
"Count those votes!
Utterly unself-aware contradiction. It was the sound of flailing, all right. A last futile grasp at power. Last grasp and last gasp. Thursday evening, with his margins in Georgia and Pennsylvania closing, President Trump once again attributed looming defeat to the doing of bad things.
They want to find out how many votes they need, and then they seem to be able to find them.
Trump actually has been peddling the voter fraud rigged election myth for years. Even after winning the Electoral College in 2016, he alleged widespread Democratic Party mischief. Here was White House aide Stephen Miller in February 2017.
This issue of busing voters into New Hampshire is widely known by anyone who's worked in New Hampshire politics. It's very real. It's very serious.
This time around, when, as predicted, Trump's election night red wave gradually revealed itself as mirage, he jumped up on that table he had so carefully set.
If you count the legal votes, I easily win. If you count the illegal votes, they can try to steal the election from us.
What Trump never explained is how the Democrats were supposed to have pulled off the caper. John Mark Hansen is professor of political science at the University of Chicago. He has studied precisely what would be required to steal a presidential election. John, welcome to the show.
I'm glad to be here.
Okay, let's just say that I want to subvert the will of the people and rig a presidential election. Easy peasy, right?
No, not necessarily. You're not going to do it by recruiting yourself and a few friends to vote a couple of times, or even three or four or five or 10 times. So you're going to have to
just organize a massive conspiracy is all.
Yeah. For instance, in Pennsylvania in 2016, there were 6.2 million ballots cast. And, you know, suppose that you're willing to kind of cut it close a little bit and you say, well, let's sort of make sure that Biden's going to win by getting him 1% more of the vote. So 62,000 votes. That's a lot of votes.
How do we go about doing that?
One possibility is that you decide you're going to get 1,000 of your best friends, and you're somehow going to convince them that they should be willing to risk prosecution and imprisonment and the loss of their reputations. You also have to reassure them that out of the 1,000 people that you've recruited to help you in this effort, nobody's actually going to open their big fat mouth. There are a lot of criminal conspiracies out there that get undone because somebody wants to brag about it or somebody has a guilty conscience or something. So you're going to have to make sure that you can trust and everybody else can trust all 1,000 of your Confederates.
Okay, if you want to obsess on details like that, that's fine. I'm not going to stop you. So you're basing this on the idea of having 1,000 friends each willing to trump up 62 ballots. But what if, instead of doing that, I just get, let's say, 20,000 friends to vote once by mail, once in person, and maybe once at another precinct where they used to live? One person, three votes, times 20,000.
You'd have to persuade all 20,000 people that they should take the risk of actually casting a second or a third ballot, because the chance of their being detected goes up the more times they vote. So I would think that people would be pretty hesitant to do something like that. In terms of people who are registered in more than one place, I doubt that you know 20,000 people who are registered in two different places. And even there, they would risk discovery. And certainly, if you're talking about 20,000 people doing it, someone is likely to be discovered as having voted in two different jurisdictions.
Now, I know that because people's signatures tend to change over time, mine has certainly mutated, many jurisdictions are being less rigorous about demanding perfect matches. In that environment, you know, can I get any ballot through?
In terms of mail-in ballots, the risk is not so much that your signature will not match, but rather that jurisdictions oftentimes will ask for identifying numbers. So in Pennsylvania, you either have to submit your driver's license number, your state ID number, or the last four digits of your Social Security number. And it's getting a hold of those numbers and matching those numbers is going to be the problem.
But it's also easy just to get 1,000 driver's licenses, no?
Not so easy.
I must say, I rather resent your negativity. What about rigging the game during the counting process? Like Trump said on Wednesday morning, somehow finding all these votes after the polls have closed. Can't that be done, like sneaking in an extra zero or two, or moving a decimal point, or even substituting computer data with fake counts that I've sneaked in on a thumb drive?
Well, your chances are better, but there are still quite strong safeguards against doing something like that. One is that most jurisdictions allow partisan observers to actually watch as the ballots are being counted and as the ballots are being tallied and as the tallies are being reported to the central office. And they have an opportunity to say, you know, I don't like that. That's not the way that things are supposed to be going. Even if there aren't any partisan observers, you still have the problem of how you're going to report all those extra votes without someone thinking, boy, that's sure an awful lot of votes being reported from that particular jurisdiction. They only usually report 300,000 votes, and now they're reporting 360,000 votes, and that's kind of suspicious.
You know, I'm sorry. I just think you're naive, because what you don't know is that I am a pretty good coder. I managed to change everybody's phys ed grade at Aaron Burr High School to an A+. So why can't I just break into the county system and just have my way?
This is something that election officials have been worried about quite a lot. And so they've invested quite a lot in trying to maintain security. As you're probably aware, in 2016, there were actually some hacker attacks on county election offices, or attempts at hacks on county election offices, particularly from Russian sources. And they seem to have been uniformly unsuccessful. So there's been a lot invested in trying to maintain the integrity and the security of the vote reporting system and the vote recording system. But even beyond that, again, how would you necessarily do it in a way that wouldn't appear suspicious? Various jurisdictions, various counties, they tend to vote pretty similarly from year to year. It would really, really be unusual to see a 20% change in a vote or an addition of 50,000 votes. So you've got the problem of, you know, how you're going to do it without someone noticing when it goes up to the next stage.
Look, John, I've laid on the irony with a trowel, and it's probably getting tedious for the audience at this point. So can I just ask you very plainly, the scenario that President Trump and his proxies are suggesting, is it remotely possible to have taken place with the kind of safeguards that each state has built in the election process going back, you know, a century?
No. This would just require, to use Joseph McCarthy's words, a conspiracy so immense as to make it nearly impossible to be detected and really expensive and risky for everybody involved.
That would mean that the president is a liar.
Some people have said.
John, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
John Mark Hansen is a professor of political science at the University of Chicago.
Coming up, polls, threat or menace?
This is On the Media.